The Green Bay Packers clinch a spot in the playoffs by going on the road to come away with a 20-3 victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But is there any concern about the Packers offense heading into the playoffs? We'll find out with Tampa area resident and Cheesehead TV's own Alex Talich on Railbird Central next. Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're talking about a victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday. The Packers clinch a spot in the playoffs as a result. To talk about this, we have a guest joining us today, Cheesehead TV's own Alex Talich, Tampa area resident. Alex, how you doing this morning?
I'm great, Brian. How are you?
Very good. Now, being from Tampa, I'm kind of curious about this, and my wife actually asked me during the game, and you could see it on TV. The stadium is full of Packers fans. There's more Packers chants than there are Bucks chants. You could hear Coon being, you know, shouted inside the stadium. Now, do you think that is Wisconsinites making the drive to Florida, warm, going on vacation? Or is it people, fans living in Florida already? Of course, Florida being a big-time retirement community, is it retired people going to the game? What's the percentage there, do you think?
I suspect it's probably a combination of both. What's even more strange about this question is you walk around and you don't see anybody in Bucks gear, really. I'm not saying I walk around and see Packers gear all over the place, but what you don't see is a lot of people in Bucks gear. You see a lot of license plates and things like that, but it's a far cry from seeing people in jerseys everywhere. I, in fact, wear a Bucks hat everywhere. I don't know why. I got it from Tom Crabtree for free, so I wear it. And I try to notice other Bucs fans, and it's just not the same. You just don't see them. So I imagine all the Packer fans are here, and some take the drive. It is pretty nice, but they don't have the fan base like everywhere else.
Yeah, I tend to agree. It's just not the same as one of the most historic franchises in the NFL. Yesterday, I'm also curious about, after the game, the lightning strike at the stadium, or was it in the parking lot after the stadium? I think it's the last number I heard, and this certainly could have changed, like 7 people taken to a hospital getting struck by lightning. I mean, what was the weather like? Because it certainly didn't seem bad during the game. Did a storm roll in? What is the weather like down there? Can these storms just pop up out of nowhere? Give me a sense of that.
Oh, absolutely. The last article I read said it hit a Wisconsin resident's car in the parking lot. They weren't in the car. But and they said up to 11 people were injured, 1 critically, and that's the last article I read at midnight last night, so I'm not quite sure what the numbers are. The weather around here, they always say on the news, the strangest thing when I moved down here about a year ago was they talk about the lightning just like we talk about temperature down here, and you'll see where the lightning's hitting that day. And it's kind of like clockwork, mostly in the summer, but this was kind of more of a rare winter pop-up because we haven't had rain. And pounds you with 1 inch, sometimes 2 inches of rain in like a half hour, and then it goes away and it's perfectly sunny outside. And that just kind of happens every day. And you get used to it, but the lightning's scary, man. It really is. I don't like it.
Well, let's talk about the game here. As much as I my thoughts and concerns go out to those who may be recovering from this lightning strike here. But it was a big game yesterday. Packers clinch a spot in the playoffs, win 20-3 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Packers defense does not allow a score in two games. How good is this defense, Alex? Because I mean, they haven't exactly played the best offenses in the NFL. Last week against the Bills, a team quarterbacked by Kyle Orton. This week, McNown. I mean, how good is this Packers defense?
Good question, because they haven't played anyone good. However, I will say that when presented with subpar talent, they certainly are performing and doing what they're supposed to do. Like you said, the offense hasn't been clicking. Two things that stuck out to me about the defense, I think, that we need to touch on, and one is Morgan Burnett, and I think he showed up yesterday in a way we haven't seen a safety show up in quite some time. And I think if he continues to play that way, I think that little extra level of protection is going to come in handy with facing teams such as the Seahawks and Cowboys down the line that are going to pound the ball a lot. But we'll see. But that's the one thing that really stuck out to me is the play of him. And then Julius Peppers getting pressure after being invisible for a couple weeks, being that scheme wise or whatnot, he really finally got there to the quarterback, and that makes a big difference. So if those two guys can come up huge, I don't see why we're not, a top 10 defense, really. I don't know. It's safe to say, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, maybe they're not going to play like they have the past 2 weeks every week, where they now have not allowed a touchdown in 8 quarters. I mean, that streak is not going to continue. But I mean, all they got to do is, I think, hold teams maybe, under three touchdowns or less. I mean, if the Packers offense can't score 21 points or more, I don't think they have a very good chance of winning. But I mean, if they can hold next week and in the playoffs, the Lions and whoever they play in the playoffs, 21 points or less, I mean, I think that's what you're looking for at this time of year. You mentioned Morgan Burnett. He had a terrific game. He was the Pro Football Focus highest graded player coming out of this game. 9 tackles, 8 of them for stops, which generally means he's basically making all these tackles short of the first down marker, comes up with half a sack. How much do you think is due to being paired with Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix next to him? Because Morgan Burnett coming off a rough season last year.
Well, I think it certainly helps being able to have, I think it helps more scheme-wise for Dom Capers, and where you can put him in that position instead of always having to have him back there in adequate coverage because the deficiencies we had with Jennings last year. But I hear a lot of people saying, "Oh, it really reminds me of Nick Collins," and I don't see that comparison. What Burnett reminded me last night, and something we haven't had in a while, and I tried to think back of, to a player, and it kind of was like an Atari Bigby 2.0, where he went down, he played tough, he made tackles, but yet where Atari failed in coverage skills, he also had two. So that's really what it reminded me from, and I think, going forward, this is going to be the first time, and I tried to think back as far as I could, but I can't think of a time where looking down the future where we're going to have two safeties with the potential to be as good as these two guys we have right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. You wonder how much Morgan Burnett was motivated by being elected a captain for the playoffs, that just happening earlier in the week. Maybe that kind of pushed his buttons a little bit and made him a little more motivated for this game. Moving to the offensive side of the football, they not quite looking as good as they were earlier in the year, when they were the most dangerous offense in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers throws a touchdown pass with just 3 minutes to go. That's his first touchdown pass in 8 quarters, and you're like, where's this MVP candidate? And of course, yesterday, Aaron Rodgers, the talk all through the game, boy, he has a cold, he's got a flu, he hurt his calf early in the game, he's not at 100%. Do you have any concern about the health of Aaron Rodgers now going forward?
Sure. I mean, you got to be concerned. I don't worry about his cold as much. That'll go away. I worry about his how many times he got hammered yesterday. I mean, that's a concern anywhere going forward. I mean, you just can't have that at this time. It just, be it the offensive line or just Aaron, there were a few times in that game yesterday where, there's one play in particular I don't remember, but I remember that Starks was kind of just sitting there, and Aaron would have the opportunity to just kind of dump it off to him right in the middle, and then instead ended up getting hammered. And be it the line or Aaron holding it too long. I mean, I'm not a professional quarterback, so I'm not going to say much about what he does or doesn't, but that concerns me when he gets hit like that. We can't have that because it's just not going to. No Aaron Rodgers, we're not going to win.
He's hampered by the calf injury, which I think limited his mobility. You hear all the time about Aaron Rodgers being
Sure.
able to extend plays with his legs to kind of run out of the pocket. He just couldn't do that yesterday because of his calf. The offensive line didn't do great, but I don't think the Aaron Rodgers did the offensive line any favors by being immobile. Obviously, if he can't move, you're going to take more hits. So hopefully he only gets healthier in the next week for this all important game this upcoming Sunday against the Detroit Lions, the season finale. Speaking of health here, Alex, on the line in this next game, Packers could, with a win, they would clinch the number 2 seed in the NFC, which means they get a bye. How much do you think the Packers will be motivated by that to get a week off, as opposed to having to play in the wild card round?
I can say with 100% confidence, having been involved in the daily life of an NFL player, that getting that week off is huge motivation. Trust me, they want that week off and they want it badly. So I think that's huge motivation going in. Not that it wouldn't be anyway. It's a big game. I think you want them to win the division, and I'm sure in the locker room that's the first in a series of goals they have for the season. But that week off with your family is pretty valuable this time of the year for both your body and mind, and I bet you that's the biggest motivation of all, if I had to guess.
Yeah, it's big, especially being around the holidays too. I guess it's more towards a New Year's time of year as in during the first week of the playoffs, but big time motivation to get a bye at this time of year. Packers red zone struggles yesterday. I think they only come away with a touchdown on 1 out of 4 trips. Any concern level there? That this team is failing to punch it in when they get the opportunity.
Sure, but I don't have a good answer. I mean, play calling. I don't know, maybe it's just me, Brian, but it just seems like the last 2 games, play calling has been strange, and whether that's because, McCarthy said it changed up a little bit yesterday because of the injury or whatever, but the one play that sticks out was the old Madden trick play, fake fullback, halfback toss to Starks outside where he gets hammered for like a 2 yard loss. I don't remember if that was in the red zone or not, but it just seems like the play calling in situations is just funky, and I think that's just showing in the red zone and everywhere else. And maybe it's just me, and you can elaborate and tell people it's not that, but
What's
it
interesting
was
is
just weird.
what's interesting yesterday, I think they struggle all year long with these little Rodgers in the shotgun, and then he does a little toss play to the running back. They actually have the most success of the year with this long run by Eddie Lacy for the touchdown, when normally they always get stuffed. But I agree that the play calling has been odd, especially last week against the Bills when they went away from the run and it was working, and they passed way too much. But
Well, it's almost like McCarthy came out and said, okay, well, we're going to run the ball. I listened to you all week say how we don't run the ball, so we're just going to run the ball. That's how it felt like at certain points in the game to me. Like it was an overstatement of, okay, you don't like we're not running the ball? Well, They will run the ball some.
Yeah, they definitely
Tyrell.
made a focus to run the ball, and then you wonder, did they run it too much then, especially on first downs? It seemed like every first down they ran the ball when that is actually a pretty good opportunity to pass once in a blue moon. So, but the Packers come away with a 20-3 victory. I guess we're nitpicking here a little bit.
Yeah, that's
Special
all I care about.
teams still struggles. They have Randall Cobb muffs a punt. Mason Crosby misses a field goal. They have two penalties on punt returns. Tim Maste doesn't look very good punting the football. Where is your level of concern with special teams as they've looked basically poor for about the past 2 or 3 months now?
Well, first answer, can you answer this for me? Because I don't know. We're sitting and laying back in.
Lang was back in finally. He took Corey Linsley's spot. Linsley giving up the block last week to Mario Williams. Lane takes his spot. Sittons, I think they're still concerned with his injury that they just want to keep him on offense.
Gotcha. Either way, it's concerning. Mason Crosby always concerns me when he starts missing field goals. He's also had a lot of opportunities the last few weeks where he probably shouldn't have, going back to our red zone woes.
Yeah.
But my big thing is punt returns. What is going on with the, why are we not picking up our blocks before the guys get downfield so that our returner can catch the ball? Am I missing something, or is people worried about penalties too much, or why are our teams always getting free runs to our punt return guy?
It's a good question. I think part of it, yesterday in punt returns, who has Chris Banjo has the penalty, Sam Shields has the penalty. Sam Shields is in on punt returns as like a jammer because Devon House is out injured. So that probably doesn't help. Here you go. Here this discussion goes back to the motivation getting a bye. Could certainly use Devon House, healthy. So he's out there on punt returns blocking instead of Sam Shields, things like that. So more motivation, I
Well,
suppose.
at least I wasn't the only one to notice that. Just, you just cringe every time you go back there because you just feel like your guy's going to get hammered, or if he drops it, there's just always two guys on top of him.
Yeah,
And that's my concern about special teams.
Randall
Bring
Cobb
back
got
Tom Crabtree. That'll solve.
Randall Cobb got lucky yesterday when he muffed the punt and it came basically right back to him. Could have had a turnover there. Alex, before I let you go, hey, I got to commend the job you've done as Alex is the marketing head at Cheesehead TV. Controls our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, those kind of things. And I'm especially impressed with Facebook. Basically, I don't know, you could kind of elaborate here. You take over, I don't know, before the season at some point during the summer months, I believe. We go from about a little over 1,000 fans on Facebook to what last count I saw, 35 plus thousand now.
Something like that. I mean, we're reaching a lot of people, and that's good. I mean, how do you do it? Really, it's just consistency. I think you got to be excited about what you do and do it every day. Just like you have to post the news to get people to come to Cheesehead TV. It's just kind of the same way, only a different media form. And it like anywhere else. And you love being a Packer fan, if you write it, Packer fans will come. And that holds true everywhere. So it's pretty easy.
We are the field of dreams of Packers internet, Packers social media.
Absolutely.
Been busy with
Absolutely.
during the holidays, you've been busy with fulfilling orders for t-shirts?
Well, our final promise by Christmas orders are out, so we'll probably see a little bit of lull here, but the Cheez-It t-shirts are underneath the tree. But you can still get one. The prices are still cut through New Year's. So if you want a Cheez-It TV or a lot of ball game shirt or huge diehard poster, they're all there and they're all the lowest price you're going to see probably until next season. So get yours now.
Go get them, folks. I don't know if you'll get them in time for Christmas if you order now,
Nope.
but they are low priced regardless. Alex, thanks for talking to me. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again sometime soon.
Word. Thank you.
Take care. Cheesehead TV's own Alex Talich joining
Thank
us here on the show to recap a Packers victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Alex, being a Tampa area resident, interesting to get his perspective on things like the weather there, which was a concern yesterday with the lightning strike outside the game. And I was just curious about Tampa fans at the stadium because the Packers fans far outnumbered them yesterday. But let's continue on here talking about the Green Bay Packers. We have the
Packers news of the day.
And what I have here for you is more info from the man himself, Aaron Rodgers, talking about A, his calf injury, and B, his cold flu. I think he calls it the flu. And you know, I think everybody's concerned now what's going to be his status moving forward because yeah, the Packers clinched a spot in the playoffs, but everything's still on the line here. You know, if you want to win the division, if you want to get a bye in the playoffs, there's even a possibility the Packers could get home field advantage throughout the playoffs yet. Here's Aaron Rodgers talking about these concerns.
Yeah, I'll be okay for next week. Hurt my calf pretty good, but the training staff helped me kind of get through it. Just put some heat on it and just try to push through it. Yeah, we did some heel pads to kind of a heel lift to kind of help out with the strain on the calf. But it was really tight, so it limited mobility a little bit. But we were able to make enough plays. Yeah, it was about play five, I think. And it got really tight about halftime, came in and got a little treatment. And then it loosened up just a tad, but it was still pretty tight. Had a hard time running, but it was able to move kind of in short segments in the pocket, which is all I needed to do today.
And you didn't
think having the flu was enough? Yeah, I battled the flu the last couple of days pretty bad. And that's why I was surprised I hurt my calf, because I hydrated like no other. I had a great hydration test this week and was drinking a ton of water before the game. Unfortunately, the calf kind of gave up on me there. But it was a good win for us. Defense played great. Offensively, it wasn't pretty, but we had enough points to win.
There you go. Aaron Rodgers saying he'll play next week. So, these things I think are minor. If he had the flu, it's probably he's over the worst of it now. He's only going to get more healthy as time goes on here, I would think. I mean, I don't know the extent of it. I mean, he was healthy enough to play yesterday, so it wasn't one of those flu bugs that absolutely wipes you out and keeps you bedridden. So I guess that's what makes me think that. And as far as the calf injury goes, again, he was able to play. He's only going to get healthier here. Again, the more rest he gets, it'd be kind of interesting that when the Packers had clinched it and all they had to do out was come out for the victory formation, the last three snaps of the game where they kneeled down, they didn't even have Aaron Rodgers out there. I mean, normally Aaron Rodgers would go out there because they just trust him more, taking that center snap exchange. But they put Matt Flynn out there actually, just because they didn't want Rodgers out there at all. They figured he had taken enough beating for the day. Yeah, I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be fine. It like I the point I wanted to make here, it'll be interesting to see how many reps they give a guy like Matt Flynn this week. Are they just going to give Aaron Rodgers a little bit extra time off, perhaps a day off from practice, because he's injured, because he's sick, things like that? I don't really know. I suppose it kind of depends maybe how he feels by Wednesday, which is still, 48 hours from now. Good thing that he'll pretty much have all Monday off, all Tuesday off, where he's not really doing a whole lot of physical activity. So he'll have that time to recuperate. But, yesterday, the Packers, Here's my feelings on the Packers going forward, is that there's still so much on the line here in the season finale against the Detroit Lions, and which, by the way, has been flexed to the late afternoon game, I believe 3:25 p.m. kickoff on Fox. Everybody was wondering, was this game going to be flexed? I didn't even know that a game could be flexed to the late afternoon time. I thought they were only flexed to prime time for NBC Sunday Night Football. Turns out they're not. It was switched from a noon kickoff to 3:25. I think they go with the Pittsburgh Steelers in the primetime game. I'm not really sure I understand why. All I know is, why wouldn't you want the Packers in primetime? Here you got two teams battling for a division title, battling for a bye in the playoffs. What more do you want? I think that would get the highest ratings possible, but I'm not a TV executive, and I could care less personally about whether they play at 3:25 or 7 p.m. I guess I'd rather have them play at 3:25 just as a blogger. That means I'm not staying up till 10, 11 p.m. writing midnight. Instead, I can get it done when I'm not sleep deprived. But I don't think the Packers offense, as bad as it's been the past 2 weeks, I don't think the Packers defense is as good as it's been the past 2 weeks. But I think there's kind of a happy medium there, in that the good news is I think the Packers offense is due to break out at any moment. And perhaps it's going to be at home at Lambeau Field, where they've been good, you know, all season long. It's just a matter of time here until they get back to their old way of doing things. And it's now late December, and weather plays even more of a factor. And I'm not sure they're going to score, 40, 50 points against this Detroit Lions defense that's really, really good. That gives you a lot of concern. That's going to be the key matchup here, is that, Packers offense versus Lions defense. How much can the Packers get going? But I think they're going to be even better, inside the confines of Lambeau Field. Well, I sit here and say, I don't think the Packers defense is as good as it's been the past 2 weeks. The good news, the silver lining there is, I think this defense is much improved from where it was the first half of the season. I mean, if you watch the Packers, by now it's been pretty much from the bye week forward. This has been a total turnaround by the Packers defense, giving up just over 100 total yards yesterday to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They couldn't get anything going. Heck, it was well into the second quarter before the Buccaneers even got their first down of the game. And they only give them 3 points total, keeping them out of the end zone entirely, as they have for 8 straight quarters now. So I think the Packers defense is much better. It was good to see the pass rush finally get out of the doldrums. We talked about it earlier. Julius Peppers kind of invisible the past few weeks. He breaks out, has 2 sacks. Clay Matthews has 2.5 sacks. Clay Matthews now has 5.5 sacks in the past 3 games alone. He's looking good ever since they moved Matthews to inside linebacker. That position has been solidified. That means A.J. Hawk's getting fewer snaps. Sam Barrington, I think, is only getting more experience, although he still makes a lot of mistakes at times. But hopefully he's only going to get better the more he's out there. So I think that helps, and he can definitely be a little bit of a thumper out there for the Packers defense. And, in the secondary, they looked really good yesterday. Who didn't have a good performance in the secondary, especially the safeties? Morgan Burnett out there making 9 tackles, 8 of them for stops, according to ProFootballFocus.com. And I wish we could talk more to Nathan Yonke of Pro Football Focus this week, but giving him the week off for the holidays, seeing as he joins us here so much. But kudos to Morgan Burnett regardless for his solid play. The thing that's got to improve is the special teams for the Packers. I personally am not worried about Mason Crosby if you, you know, his stats don't probably look so good this year because of the blocks. But I think if you take out the blocks, which are basically not Mason Crosby's fault, his field goal percentage is fine. How many field goals has Mason Crosby missed this year that haven't been blocks? Is it two? And I know the recent one yesterday he missed it. You know, that's just on Crosby. But at least he was close on it. I mean, think about 2 years ago when Mason Crosby was going through that slump. I mean, some of those field goal attempts weren't even close. I mean, they were missing the goalpost by the upright by 20 yards. At least this one was, you know, it was just pushed ever so slightly. So I think Mason Crosby's in a groove that blocking has just got to improve in front of him. And it did this past week, you know, like we said with Alex Talich. TJ Lang finally is back out there on kick protection. I think the injury to Josh Sitton is more severe than the injury to TJ Lang when those guys both suffered foot injuries. I think they're still hesitant to put Josh Sitton out there on kick protection. They want to keep him off and keep that foot healthy for offense where he's needed more so. But it was good to get at least TJ Lang back out there. Now the Packers got to get everything else going on special teams. Here I write this blog post during the week Randall Cobb is the new Packers kick returner. And to tell you the truth, I think he could have been yesterday. The problem was the Packers only got one opportunity on a kickoff return, and it was the very first play of the game, the opening kickoff. Packers didn't see another kick return after that because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers didn't score. The one time they do score, their field goal, it comes at the end of the half as time expires, so they don't even have an opportunity to have another kickoff after that. I think had it been close, Randall Cobb may have been out there on kick returns instead of DeJuan Harris. We'll see what the Packers do this upcoming week. Maybe they'll split time. I think Randall Cobb's going to be out there sometime soon with so much at stake and so much still on the line. Hopefully that improves the Packers' efforts here late in the year. But anyway, time for
the day ahead.
At 1265 Lombardi Avenue today. Today's, you know, basically media circuit day for the Packers, as it usually is the day after a game. John Kuhn is busy today, the Packers fullback. He has appearances on, first of all, the Mike McCarthy Show. He is the head coach's guest today, albeit the show doesn't air on TV until Tuesdays, but the taping occurs on Mondays inside Lambeau Field, open to the public. If you're in Green Bay, live within driving distance of Green Bay, you can go see it for free inside the Lambeau Field atrium. John Kuhn, the Packers guest. Then John Kuhn, after the taping, going to buzz down to Appleton, where he'll host his usual talk show, Clubhouse Live, hosted by the folks from the Appleton Post-Crescent and streamed live on clubhouselive.com. So busy day for John Kuhn today. A pair of Packers will be ringing bells for the Salvation Army. A pair of Packers with ties to the University of Alabama. Eddie Lacy and HaHa Clinton Dix, those two players together, will be at Bay Park Square Mall in Green Bay, or Ashwaubenon, Monday evening. Ringing bells for the Salvation Army. Make a donation. You get an autograph in return. Good guys. Good thing for those guys to be giving back to the community here in during the holiday time period. So anyway, that'll do it for today's show here at Cheesehead TV. Thank you everybody so much for joining us. Appreciate you coming out and listening to us as you do so often every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at Cheesehead TV. I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you later, folks. Thank you to Alex Talich for joining us on the show on behalf of Jamie Snowden. We'll see you later. Have a happy solstice. The light, it only gets lighter from here on out, so that's good news, right? So we'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Bellwether by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack Go.